Good morning and welcome to Market Minutes. Today is Friday, October the 7th, and I'm Mahalakshmi. The metals index was the top gainer amongst sectoral indices on Thursday. It surged more than 3% in trade, and stocks across the metal spectrum, steel, copper, aluminium, all of them rallied. In fact, over the past five sessions, the BSE metals index has gained nearly 9%, while the Sensex gained about 2.2%. So what's going on here? Especially when we are talking about the possibility of a global recession and central banks of the world waging a war against prices, why should prices of commodities that pretty much go into everything contributing to inflation really rise? So two main reasons for this bullishness. Let's first talk about steel, because we have a whole host of stocks out there. Well, we may keep harping on the India growth story and how we will need a lot of steel as we build our infrastructure, etc. But thus far, the main determinant of steel prices globally has been the Chinese market. So far as metal prices are concerned, it's the China growth story, not the India growth story, that has really mattered. The main reason steel prices have come down so far also, especially in the past few months, is because of weak demand from China. Globally, much of the demand for steel comes from three areas: housing, infrastructure, and automobiles. Automobile sales, as all of us know, has been sluggish for quite some time now because of the semiconductor shortage. But the biggest consumer of global steel is really the Chinese housing market, which saw a severe compression because of the property crisis in China. Remember the Evergrande issue and all of that? So that's what really happened. This caused iron ore and steel prices across the globe to fall. In India, prices have now nearly halved from their peak price of 92,000 rupees per ton at the end of March 2022 to about 55,000 rupees per ton currently in the spot market. That's a 40% decline in prices. Now, there is optimism coming back that there will be a pickup in Chinese economic growth. The fact that President Xi Jinping is very likely to clinch a third term, and that will give him some elbow room to do some policy maneuvers, has triggered optimism around a pickup in Chinese economic growth, which has been kind of muted because of a combination of factors, including the zero COVID policy. As that happens, we will see a pickup in infrastructure spending and revival in housing demand, which means more demand for steel. But there are not too many people who really buy into this narrative. So what is the counterview? The counterview stems from the belief that Beijing's recent moves to perk up housing demand will not really help much. That is point number one. We'll come to what the government has done and why it will not work in a bit. Point number two, the property deleveraging, some economists feel, will remain a key priority for the government, diminishing prospects of a quick recovery in the real estate sector. Now, let us understand what the government has done and why. The Chinese policymakers have allowed local governments in some cities to cut or even scrap their lower limits on mortgage rates for the first-time home buyers until the end of this calendar. This policy is supposed to be applicable for cities that have experienced three consecutive months of decline in new home prices in both month-on-month and year-on-year terms. Now, economists from brokerage firm Nomura, for instance, feel that the policy will have only a limited positive impact due to the negative impact of the stringent and restrictive measures under the zero COVID policy. While the mortgage concession scheme will last only till the end of this calendar, the COVID restrictions are to continue till FY23. Well, the rest of the world has pretty much put COVID behind, but China is still continuing with strong restrictions with its zero COVID policy. Only the Chinese know why, but my guess is this is a way of keeping inflation low because the administration cannot afford to have inflation at this point politically. But coming back to the point on housing, this mortgage relaxation excludes most large cities and also second-time home buyers and mortgage borrowers. Therefore, analysts are saying this is not enough to really change things on the ground materially. So one set of analysts are bullish on the revival prospects, the other set is not. But really, no one knows. Now let us move on to copper, which is a somewhat different story. Yesterday, zinc and copper climbed on the London Metal Exchange after the LME said it will restrict deliveries of metals from one of the Russian companies whose founder has been sanctioned by the UK government. The move is by far the most significant restriction on Russian metal supplies since the invasion of Ukraine. So yesterday, all metals were up on the LME. Now, the other reason for rise in metal prices, especially something like aluminium, is also the rise in oil or energy prices, because these are very energy intensive industries. Energy cost nearly constitutes about 60 to 70% of aluminium manufacturing. So spot metal prices usually rise in tandem with energy prices. Most companies sell at least a third of their output in the spot market. To that extent, they will benefit from a surge in both energy costs and the concurrent rise in spot metal prices in the short term, let's say from 1 to 3 months. But if the energy costs remain high for a long time, then some companies will simply have to shut capacities as they can no longer remain competitive and make money on their long-term contracts. Now let's come back to Russian supplies. Russian supplies have been a big matter of debate in the past few days because Russia is a big producer of aluminium, nickel, copper, zinc, palladium, all kinds of metals, right? So far, there has really been no major change in the Russian metal supplies to the world because supply contracts signed before the war were still in force. But September marks the start of what's known as a mating season. Yes, mating season, wherein companies tend to negotiate and renew their contracts. Media reports suggest that there is a growing reluctance amongst companies from US and Europe to continue with Russian metals, meaning they want to push Russian metals out of the system. Now, what happens if that happens? Well, what happens to metals will be the same as what happened to oil. In the case of oil, the moment Western countries started rejecting Russian oil, countries like India, who were earlier not sourcing oil from Russia, started sourcing it cheap. Just to recall, before the Russia-Ukraine war, India was sourcing absolutely no oil from Russia, but now we get about 15 to 20% of our imports from Russia. Now, the same thing happened even with cotton. After US and Europe banned cotton sourcing from a particular region in China, a lot of mills that were not supplying to US and Europe started sourcing cotton from there, and those sourcing from the region looked elsewhere. Of course, that shift took time and cotton prices did see the impact, but the moral of the story remains the same. Countries like India will try to source these metals for cheap, so in a sense, an equilibrium will be maintained just in case of oil and cotton. Now, what does this mean for stocks? You can always slice and dice stocks, look at their earnings, multiples, etc. But at the moment, the problem with metals is that there are far too many imponderables. It's not only about or how global supplies will align, but also about how demand is going to pan out globally. So if you're a smart trader, you may probably take a calculated punt at these stocks as the momentum in the near term looks to be strong. But an investment call at this point will be a very difficult task, at least that is what I think. As for global markets, the US market continued to be weak. The S&P 500 closed 1.02% down yesterday also. So we might see some weakness today also in trade. On that cautious note, have a good trading day. Log on to moneycontrol.com for the latest in business news. Catch you again on Monday, same time.